Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 22. And that can be found on page 1031 in the church Bibles. Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
Thanks, Dave. Tonight we're continuing our series on Jesus Brings, and in particular we're looking at Jesus Brings Purpose. Now I'm going to be a bit reflective, straight up, so it might be a bit deeper than I normally go, so just bear with me, we will be coming up. I wonder if you've reflected upon what the point of your life is. What am I here for? What is my purpose in life? What will make me happy? What will make me satisfied? What will make me fulfilled in my life? Now, everyone from time to time ponders the meaning of life. And people come up with lots of different answers about what life is all about. Like I've heard it said, life is about love. Or I've also heard, life is about having a nice car and showing off. Or life is about family and children. Or life is, and I've seen this happen many times, life is about having pets. And so they live their life for their animals. Life, I've heard, is about friends and friendship. Or life is about working hard so that you can enjoy your weekend. Or life is about having a nice retirement. Or the meaning to life is planning my next overseas trip or vacation. And that's what I'm focused on. Or life could be feeling secure and putting some significant amount of money in the bank so you can keep going. Or life is about making your contribution to society. Or life could be, as people said, about declaring world peace and making it happen. We spend most of our lives furiously attaining goals. And when we get there, we realize, well, maybe they weren't all cracked up as they meant to be. I'll give an example. When I got my teaching degree. Actually, I'll ask Adam. You've got a few degrees. When you went for your degree, you thought it was going to be a good thing. What do you make of them now? Yes?
And I'm pretty sure that no one has read what I poured my life into.
Okay. But moving towards that master's, you were focused and it was, you know, it was a big thing. But when you got there,
I
Okay, all right. So, you see how sometimes the goals you make, when you get to them, you realize, well, they weren't cracked up to be that good at all. And over the years, friends, I've had the privilege of being with many people, particularly my friends, who I've spent the last days and hours and moments with them while they've been in this life. I've been in a hospital bed and I've been encouraging them as they were slipping from this world. And whether they were children or young people or old folks, to be there to support them in their final breaths here on this planet was a great privilege, to encourage them and to be with them as they crossed over from being in this world to be with Jesus. It's quite an emotional experience. Sean, you would know that too in your role. And over the years, I added up this week, I've taken hundreds of funerals. And I can't help but realize, what happens when I'm the guy running this funeral, I'm the one talking to people. And as I deal with grieving family and friends, I actually have to take my own medicine. I realize as I'm talking to these people that life is brief. We don't have much time in this world. And so money, power, experiences, friends, they're not going to last. Well, not last very long. And each time I'm ministering to a dying or grieving person, I'm confronted by the fact that I'm going to die one day too. And what is my life about? What's the meaning and purpose for my life as I see it's going to come to an end one day here? And so I guess I need to be focused when I see that. I can learn something from that about the brevity of life and the meaning to life when I see people going through that. And as a church and as individuals, we're forced to consider how brief life is. Now, I'm looking around you guys, and a lot of you may and yet you're going physically a lot slower in the last 10 years, all right? Okay, so that's a bit of a weird situation, isn't it? You're going slower, but time seems to be going faster. Yep, all right, so that's what's going to happen, particularly you young guys. You think, well, you know, I haven't got much to compare in the last 10 years compared to the previous 10 years. I don't know much about what was happening in the first 10 years. Well, let me say, it speeds up. And as you go through the speeding up process, you realize, wait a minute, it's sort of getting closer to my time. So, what is the purpose? What is the meaning of my life? As we see it, one day, it's going to come to an end. Now, I talk to a lot of people about their aspirations and meaning and purpose, and some people, they don't actually say this, but they mean it. Their goal in life is to get the corner office in, or the one near the window. I don't know if you know people who work in offices. You know, there's a bit of a pecking order on where, you know, you want to be, and one that has, you know, a bit more status than the other. Or some people aspire to get, you know, you talk to them for a while and you say, all they really want to get is the extra money or the bonuses or the promotion. Or some people make it their meaning and aspiration of life to find that beautiful spouse and the person of their dreams. All right? Some people aspire to get the big house in the cul-de-sac and, the one that they've been dreaming about for years. Or some people you hear when they're talking about, they're always talking about the vacation home. You know, that's where, I'm going to go there on my holidays, I'm going to go there on the weekends, and that's all they seem to live for. And is this really what life's about? Now, there's nothing wrong with any of those things at all. But is that the thing we define our life to be, our purpose? The song in which Steve Catt just sang a moment ago was written by Bon Jovi. And back in the 80s, it's still sung a bit today, isn't it, Lester? No? I notice you'll sing along with it. And back in the 80s, it was one of those anthem songs that people would sing. And it's sort of like saying, I'm going to work hard and do my own thing. And they would resound the chorus. Let me read to you, because I'm not going to sing it, what Bon Jovi wrote or Steve just sang. It's my life, and it's now or never, because I ain't going to live forever. I just want to live while I'm alive. It's my life. Friends, that is a very sad song, because it's asserting that a person's independence from other people and independence from God, and it shows it meaningless to this life and especially in the life to come. It has no perception of that. And so we're thinking about, where do we find meaning? And there's three or four very unusual books in the Bible, and one of those unusual books is the book of Ecclesiastes. And if you read it wrongly, you end up being depressed. Okay? It's like saying, heads up, read it with the way we're meant to read it. It was probably written by King Solomon, who was the greatest king in Israel and the wisest man to have ever lived. And God allowed Solomon to have everything a person might want. Untold wealth, worldwide fame, absolute power over a nation, hundreds of wives, and the wisdom of how to deal with those wives. He's a man of great wisdom, I imagine. Solomon had all the gold. Solomon had all the glory. Solomon had all the girls he possibly wanted. And as he's in this very privileged position, he looks around and he sees the society he lives in, very similar to ours. And he sees that people are running around pursuing happiness and meaning. And so he conducts this experiment into human happiness. And he concludes his experiment by saying everything is meaningless. And you've got to understand this man again. He's incredibly wise and knowledgeable. When it came to pleasure, Solomon didn't spare anything. And he finds himself, as he's assessed knowledge and wisdom and pleasure, he says, this is meaningless too. And he uses the phrase of, it's like chasing the wind. What a waste of time that is. And so he explores other areas of working hard and achieving great accomplishments. He built cities, this guy, and forts, and he had enormous power, and he concluded that this too is meaningless. And he saw the good people in his society who often got swallowed up by the wicked. He saw that there was no justice and reward on this earth. He saw it wasn't fair. And he saw that sometimes wise people go hungry, and hard-working, talented people don't necessarily get rewarded. And then, for those of you who are doing studies at school or at uni, he says this, the reading of many books, he grows tired at reading them. And as this man is a smart guy and did read many books, he said, these two are meaningless. Nothing much can be gained on what life is about. And so At the end of this great experiment, Solomon sums up the results by saying, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, he says in Ecclesiastes 12. And so we're listening. Here's a man who's got an opinion that we need to hear. And he says this, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This guy went to great lengths to work out the meaning of life. He had great resources on his side. And he says, you know what? You can't find the meaning to life if you're looking in yourself and what you can do. The only way you're going to find meaning is in God. And God reveals himself, we know, friends, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we really want to find our purpose in life, if we want to consider eternity, then eternity can only be found in Jesus. Only in him. Now let me take a step back from that for a minute. If that's right, and it is, and it's Jesus we should be focusing our life in now and forever, what does that do with the here and now? Well, let me say, I love my wife Kim. I think she's terrific. I love my kids and I love my grandchildren. I actually love the fact that I live here in this community with you and lots of other people who are terrific. I think these things are great and they enhance me and my life. However, these things, my family, my community, my friends, aren't going to be around here forever. So life is unpredictable and short, and time and uncertainty have a way of messing with our plans. And Solomon showed that very clearly. And Jesus also showed that very clearly in that passage that we just read from Luke's Gospel. In Luke 12, it says, he's talking about worrying about things, about getting things in life. And then he tells us what life is all about. He says, life is more than food. Life is more than food and the body more than clothes. So let me get this right then. You can take away my position. You can take away my job. You can take away my friends and family. But you can't take away Jesus from our hearts. That's rock solid. That's something here and now and goes on in eternity. That won't change. And Jesus goes on in Luke 12 to say, for we have a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. And then he goes on to say, for where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So our treasure is not in the things that we hold on to. It's on our Lord who's come to us and lives in our heart. He is awesome. He is majestic. He is sufficient. His love for me will last forever in my life and in your life. Jesus then is the ultimate meaning and purpose of life. And he's the meaning of this life and in the life to come. So what's your purpose for life? You and I have a very clear purpose. We were made for joyful service of our Lord and God. That's our purpose. God is so powerful and loving and has made everything. And when we see that life isn't about ourselves, but God, now we've got the focus of what life is about. Now, when we see that we are not the center of the universe, but God is the center of the universe, we go through this radical switch, a revolution. And then we see things in a totally new life. So, what is the focus point for your life? What is the focus point? Well, we don't live for the things on this earth. What we can see, touch, feel, and sense. All right, we don't live for those things, so they're not going to last. Now, let me try and put that in perspective. There are times in my life. I don't claim to be a psychologist or understand fully what psychology is all about. Okay, but I do know a bit about myself, and let me say, I do know a bit about how I react to things, and I'm a fairly emotional sort of feeling sort of guy. Okay, not always, but just ask Rebecca; she could tell you. And I know when if my emotions are out of whack, I know it, and those who live around me know it, and my family know it. And I've discovered when that happens, I've usually forgotten what is important in my life. I've been distracted from my purpose. I've lost sight of Jesus. I've let the pressures and disappointments of life hijack my thoughts and my actions. I've forgotten. Now, I've noticed that I sometimes do this. I get up from a desk or get up from a lounge and I go into the kitchen. And I go in to do something or to get something. And I come into the kitchen and I look around and think, what I come to get? And I'm staring at the pantry or the fridge and something on top of the bench, and I'm still clueless sometimes. What did I come for? And then I think, if it doesn't come to me, I go back to where I was and hoping it will come back. Has anyone forgotten, been like me? About half of us. All right. The rest of us, I think, are carrying on. All right. I can forget my purpose. Particularly when, you're talking to someone, the phone rings, and then you say, what were we talking about? It's easy to forget your purpose in the immediate situation. But I actually say, I can forget my purpose in life as well. And if that's the case, then I've forgotten why I've been put here on this planet. And what have I? I forget the most important thing in my life, that I am here to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. So, that's my purpose, and I forget. I mean, I'm a minister. I've been a Christian for at least 40 years. You think, you nong, how can you forget? But I do. I get distracted. Now, every Sunday night, we sing out our praises to God. And haven't we got an awesome music ministry team who lead us? They're really good. And we do. They help us in our focus here on Sunday night. They are awesome, our musicians. But what is more awesome is Jesus, who we direct our songs to and our praises to. We tell Jesus, we surrender our lives to Him. We say how terrific He is for what He's done. And then we go back home tonight, and we go back to school or uni or work tomorrow. And then something happens. Tomorrow we tend to strive and stress as if it all depends on us. We make life out to be about ourselves, about pleasing ourselves, about accomplishing our goals, about making things happen in our own strength. And it's subtle, but an unspoken switch seems to flip in our minds from Sunday night to Monday morning. You know, we worship God in gusto here, and we say we give our all to Him. But what happens tomorrow when we go in our own strength? Well, when we do go in our own strength, when we do forget What happens? Well, we tend to worry and fear, have anxiety or pride or anger or impatience or envy or bitterness or slander or confusion or tension. I don't want to do that, but I forget. And so do you. That life is all about serving Jesus. You know, I'd much prefer to have rest and peace and clarity and joy and purpose in my life. When Jesus is my focal point, it's as if, I get it. Well, actually, I don't understand everything, but I get it what I've got to do in that immediate context. And so our priorities fall in place and my life finds direction, and it's God's direction. And we are given strength in struggles that we're going to, that's going to present us in our life. And Jesus says in Luke 9, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it." The early church believed Jesus' words when he said that. They actually took his words literally. They were prepared to lose their life for Christ. If you were to pick up a famous Christian classic, The Fox's Book of Martyrs, it outlines the great ones, or whoever the great ones are, in the early part of Christian history, who have been martyred for being a believer. And the 12 disciples, the ones who took the message of Christ, let me tell you how their lives ended up here on this earth. In AD 44, King Herod ordered that James the Greater be thrust through with a sword. And that was the first apostle to be martyred. And then the bloodshed began. Luke was hung by the neck on an olive tree in Greece. Doubting Thomas was pierced with a pine spear, tortured with red-hot plates, and burned alive in southern India. In AD 54, the proconsul of the Hierapolis had Philip tortured and crucified because his wife was converted to Christianity through Philip's preaching. And as Philip was being crucified and dying on that cross, he kept preaching the gospel to those who would hear. Matthew was stabbed in the back in Ethiopia. Bartholomew was flogged to death in Armenia. James the Just, he was thrown off the southeastern pinnacle of the temple and fell about 30 metres, was still alive, and then the mob came and beat him to death. Simon the Zealot was crucified by the governor of Syria in AD 74. Judas Thaddeus was beaten to death with sticks in Mesopotamia. Matthias, who replaced Judas Iscariot, was stoned to death and then beheaded. Peter, he was crucified and upside down. And John the Beloved is the only disciple to die of natural causes, and that's only because that he survived his own execution when a cauldron of boiling oil did not kill him. And so the Emperor Diocletian exiled him to the Isle of Patmos. And there he stayed there and stayed in the area of Turkey for some time. You see, the disciples took Jesus' words literally. They were prepared to die for their faith in Christ. Now, I'm not suggesting that you will die physically for Christ. I mean, heck, we live in the 21st century. In Australia, a first world country, it's very unlikely that any of us will die for our faith in Christ. But here's the crunch. We must die to ourselves. We must die to ourselves. Jesus hung on that cross for you and me. And in response to that, we can certainly carry around our cross for him. Friends, that isn't a responsibility. Friends, it's our highest privilege in life to serve the risen Lord. It's our highest privilege. It's our highest purpose to do his bidding. Everything else, if we do anything else, we are robbing God of his glory and honour. So, we won't find our purpose. We're talking about Jesus brings purpose, but we won't find our purpose unless we die to ourselves. You know, the right for us to direct our lives. And we must die to doing things we want to do and serve God. And so, let me put it to you tonight. If you want to know the purpose that Jesus brings, we need to make Jesus our Lord and Saviour. And we need to serve him in our life, and he'll give great purpose and strength in this life and in the world to come. And may I call you to do that and not be distracted, not to forget, or not to change your attitude between tonight and tomorrow morning. Let's pray. Lord, there is so much happening in this world, and we so often get distracted and forget you and the purposes you have for our lives. Jesus, we just want to say tonight that you are so awesome, so powerful, so loving and merciful to us. You have created us and given us life, a life to the full, both now and into all eternity. We thank you that you've come into our hearts. And Lord, we've been reminded tonight that our life in this world can be very brief and uncertain.